Morning. Today's Daven Chumas Tes Zayin. We are today starting on Tes Vav Amud Beis, and we're on the bottom of the Amud. And our discussion starts today with Shechting using a little bit of hydraulic power. The it's an interesting place to start, but that's where we're starting today. The Mishnah yesterday that we saw together on Tes Vav Amud Beis talks about Shechting with the various implements. It doesn't have to be a knife. That's myth number one that we broke yesterday. It's preferable to be a knife, but it doesn't have to be a knife. The Mishnah over here described various items that could be used. You could use a magal yad, sickle, you could use a tzur, a stone, a kani, you could use a reed. In all those cases, the shechita would be good. And then, hakol shochtin, lolon shochtin, uvichol shochtin. You can shech with anything, but anything but the Mishnah points out has a serrated edge is no good for shechita. Yeah, the Mishnah says you cannot use a magal katsir, something as some sort of sickle used for the harvesting, magera, saw, shinayim, teeth, siparin, nails. So because they are chonik, they choke the animal and they do not cut the animal. And what we want in shechita is a slicing motion, and not anything that will grab or tear at the simanim as it's cutting through. Good, that's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah, and in the course of the Gemara yesterday, we had a machlokas between the Tanayim, whether you could use something which is connected to the ground, attached to the ground. We're going to come back to that a little bit later on this morning. The Gemara is going to revisit that. But in the meantime, however, we are now discussing the following. We're discussing something which is Mechubra Mikaro versus Talosh of the Sof Chibra. So the Gemara says something which was connected originally versus something which was detached and then attached. And the Gemara asks the question as we now start the Gemara, we pick up where we left off yesterday in Tezvav Amin Beis. And how do I know that there's a difference between something that was attached from the point of origination to the to something which was detached and then reattached? Italian, the Gemara quotes the following Braisa, Hashochim b'mochni, shchita sukshera. B'mechub l'karka, shchita sukshera. So if I shech with a mochni, now mochni is a wheel, and basically it's... I'm turning the wheel in order to shecht, and somehow through the mechanics of turning the wheel, so shechita will be performed. I'll be a little bit more specific in just a moment. Really, our main interest over the course of the wheel is what powers the wheel. Is it human power or is it water power? That's a big question, and we are, and we're going to discuss that in greater detail in just a moment. So in any way, so if I shech with a wheel, the shechit is good. If I shech with something which is mechub l'karka, shechit is going to be good. Now it's talking because of a shech about shechita sokshera. And if I take a knife and I stick it into the wall, and so now the knife is protruding from the wall, and I shech with such a knife, so then that would be fine. Hayatzur yotze min hakoso kana ala me'ala v'shech habo shechita sopsula. If, however, let's say I have a stone emanating from the wall, and I shech with that, or if I have a reed growing out from the ground, so the shechita would be possible. So kashya na adate. Now, I'm trying to make sense of this braisa, and it's really difficult, because on one hand, the braisa describes things which are connected to the ground, or connected to the wall, and that's fine. And then the braisa talks about things that are connected to the wall, which are not fine. So what we have to do is we have to plug in our distinction. Shani be mechuba mikar letosh levesof chivru shmamina. So the Gemara says, so obviously over here, once we have our yesod, that when something is connected to the ground from the original point, organically grew from the ground, a reed growing from the ground, a stone jutting out of the ground. So those are the things which are organically connected to the ground. You cannot shech with that. The shechita with such an item would be possible for reasons which we have not articulated as of yet. We didn't explain yesterday in the Gemara, and we will explain a little bit later on. But you can, in other words, it's got to be something which is detached from the ground. If, on the other hand, it was disconnected from the ground but reattached to the ground, so under those circumstances, that shechita would be a good shechita. That's the case of the knife. The knife which you then thrust into the side of the wall, and now you shech using that knife, so it was disconnected and then reattached, and that would be fine. So obviously you see there's a distinction between mechubar mikaro versus talush uvesof chibra. Good. Shmamina. Amramar, we are in Tezayin Amad Aleph for two lines down. Hashochim b'muchni shechita sukshera. So we're going to now go back to shechting with a wheel. So we learned in the Braisa just before that if I shecht with a wheel, so the shechita would be a good shechita. On the other hand, v'atayin shechita sepsula. I have another Braisa, and the Braisa gives me the opposite conclusion, which is shechting with a wheel is no good. So lo kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, obviously this needs a resolution. So ha bisarna de pachra, ha bisarna de maya. So the Gemara makes a distinction in terms of what exactly is powering the wheel. So if what's powering the wheel is me, Sarna de Pachra, if you see Rashi over here, Gagal Shel Yotzrim, Shel Cheres, so it's a wheel used by people who are making earthenware. So V'yeshla Muchni Shemagalglam Bokish Chokikin Esakli. And so, right, on the turntable, so basically you're putting the earthenware on it, the clay on there, and you're turning. And the and under those circumstances, that is a gushchita. Why? Because it's powered by you. You're the one who is providing the force and the power in order to turn the wheel. Let's call that from this point going forward, koach adam. That's your power. That's your strength. And under those circumstances, shchita is gushchita, because you're the one providing the power for that. However, if it's sarna demaya, if it's a wheel that's being turned, but it's being turned by water, meaning hydraulics. Mm-hmm. Water is what is turning the wheel, so that is not your koach. The Rashi demaya, shchita sepsula shamay megalgan asov, ve'ein shchita zu mikoach adam. It's not coming from your force, it's not coming from your power, and we're going to learn later on that if shchita occurs without koach adam, the shchita is not going to be a good shchita. Coming up on Lamed Aleph. So one easy distinction to be made between the two brisos is to, if you're the one powering the wheel, shchita is a good shchita. If the water is powering the wheel, shchita is not a good shchita. The Gemara says there's another way to suggest an answer. No, both are hydraulics. Both are being powered by water, both wheels. One is good and one is no good. And it's just a question now of which koach are we talking about? Koach Rishon versus Koach Sheni. How do we understand that in this context? So once again, I'm gonna go to Rashi. Koach Rishon says Rashi, she kasharu samach lusfas hamayim, v'kevin she nekev nakev bisfas hamayim, miyad bo hamayim lepiv. So what I'm gonna do is as follows. I'm going to open the gate to allow the water to come in and turn the wheel and crank the wheel in order for shchita to occur. If what I'm doing is that I'm opening the gate that's right next to the water, so basically we can look at my action as really powering the wheel, and so therefore that is considered koach adam. Koach sheni, on the other hand, next Rashi, shekashar berichuk. What I did is I let the water go, but far away. So shekashar berichuk v'amayim halchusham alfa pishu nekev anekev v'hef chulisham pater degrama ba'amahu. So over here, the way Rashi describes it is that if I release the water, but it was some ways away, so that's not considered biyadayim, but that's rather considered grama, and so therefore grama. Well, now by grama we say grama benizak and spater, but we're not talking about nezik right now. We're talking about shchita, but it's the same idea. In other words, in order for the shchita to be a valid shchita, it has to be biyadayim. I have to be doing it with my hands. So over here, it's not biyadayim; it's considered grama, and so therefore the shchita would not be a good shchita. So the Gemara says, this goes to a halacha that was said over by Rav Papa. We said this back in Sanhedrin. We are leaving the world of Shechita. We're entering into the world of Ritzicha. In other words, to be a rotzeach, a not only a murderer, but one who is subject to the capital punishment. So you have to be a rotzeach biyadayim. If you cause somebody's death, so that is not considered ritzicha. It is obviously it's an iser, it's an avera, right? A very significant one. But in terms of hitting the threshold of misas bidei adam, so it has to be biyadayim. So let's say, for example, you tie somebody up and then you release water. Umes, and the person dies based on the flooding of the water that you caused to release. Chayev, my time giri didehu. So the Gemara says, that's considered your giri didei da hanibei. So the Gemara says that because that's your arrow. But the Gemara says v'ani bila b'koach rishon, but that's only koach rishon. But b'koach sheni grama ba'amahu. So you see this very distinction as it relates to ritzicha, the distinction between koach rishon and koach sheni. So if when you're releasing the water, immediately the water now is flooding and drowning the person that you tied up and you prevented from being released, so that is considered ritzicha. That is chayiv misas beizdin. And as a result of that, that is capital crime, murder. On the other hand, if you tied somebody up and you released water, but you released water from some far away, from some distance, so that's considered grama, and you're not chayav misa. Again, let's just make sure it's clear. We say this all the time. They're both aser. They're both averos. They're both murder. However, in order to get to the point of misas beizdin, so it has to be ritzicha biyadayim. Okay, that's right. Just it's dinei haTorah. It's just simply the laws of the Torah. In other words, we're not making distinctions versus right or wrong. We're just making distinctions versus when you're going to get Mises based in, when you're not going to get Mises based in. I think that was clear.
If you let the tide kill him,
right?
Is that grumma?
That's grumma. That's grumma. You tied him up, and the tide killed him. That's even more grumma. You didn't even release the water. That water is coming naturally. That's right. I could see that as even being more of a case of grumma. But anyway, Yosef Rav Achori de Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Chiya Kamei de Rabbi v'Yosef Rabbi v'Kamar. So over here a discussion between look at these collection Rav Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi. Rav and Rav Chiya, by the way, were nephew uncle. I just wanted to make sure I was going in the right order. So in other words, Rabbi Chiya is an uncle. I'll say it easier. Rabbi Chiya is an uncle to Rav. So the Rabbi of course was the chavrusa / Rabbi to Rabbi Chiya and the Rabbi to Rav as well. So anyway, so v'kamar, and they said the following. By the way, we all know that Rav eventually left Eretz Yisrael and went to Bavel. But obviously now this is prior to him making his way over to Bavel. So v'kamar minayin l'shchita shu betalosh. And finally, right after a discussion of that shechita has to be done with an object that is detached from the ground, how do we know that? The Gemara has been saying that now for the good part of almost an amud, but meanwhile, where's the source for that? So the Gemara says, "Shenemar v'kachas ha'machalas l'shchot l'shchot." So when Avram comes in and is ready to shech Yitzchak, v'yikach es ha'machalas, so he's taking the knife. V'yikach let's just leave it at that. Vayikach es ha'machalas l'shchot. Amar le'Rav le'Rabbi Chiya my kamar. So Amar le'Vav dechsiv ha'uf to kamar. So Rav says to Rabbi Chiya, what's going on over here? And Rabbi Chiya's response is, you know, it's like when you're trying to write a vav on a piece of wood, but you're writing the vav against the grain. And what ends up happening is that it's not a smooth vav going down, and it's going to be jagged and it's going to be rough. And basically, Rabbi Chiya was saying, it's a difficult svara, meaning I don't hear it so well. Ba'akra kamar. Now, what do you mean it's a difficult svara? Rabbi wasn't giving a svara. Rabbi was quoting a pasuk. So the Gemara says, Kra zirusa davram kamash malay. You think the pasuk is here to tell me a halach and hilchos shechita? The pasuk has nothing doing with hilchos shechita. It happens to be that Avram was careful to make sure that he did the mitzvah correctly, right? The Rashi shechash v'nizar shemol yimatzit sur afilu mechuber ve'evi imo machelas. It just simply means that look, could he have used a rock? Maybe, but he didn't want to take a chance. So in other words, when he gets there, he's going to have a knife ready in hand. He was prepared. He wasn't ready for any kind of excuses in terms of why it is that he wasn't going to successfully shecht his son. Amarava. So interesting. The Gemara cited a source for shechita has to be done with something which is talush, and meanwhile, the Gemara didn't fully accept or adopt it, even though the halacha is fully accepted. And so now, we already brought it up once this morning, but we're now going to come back and revisit the topic of something which was originally connected to the ground, taken off from the ground, reattached to the ground. What is that in halacha? In halacha, is that considered something which is connected to the ground? And so, as we know, in halacha, there are many things, there are various items which are considered, which make a distinction whether it's something which is mechuber versus something which is talush, right? Let's use our first example, which we're going to be doing right now, and that is the halacha of avodah zarah. Okay, the basic halacha is as follows: in order for something to be an avodah zarah and have the status of avodah zarah, someone has to worship it, and it has to be something which is disconnected from the ground. So, in other words, the person fashions an idol. It doesn't have to be an idol, but a person fashions an idol, and then that idol gets worshipped. So now that idol is, it's a chefsa shel avodah zarah, and it's aser ba'ana. But it has to be something which is detached from the ground. The Asherah tree, wonderful. Oh, good. The Asherah is the rule breaker. That's really good. Gemara avodah zarah discusses that, but that's excellent. Excellent point. So so if you bow down to a mountain, that mountain will not become a chefsa shel avodah zarah. And so now halacha number one for this morning. So what if I take something, detach it from the ground, and reattach it to the ground? So for example, our house, a building. So all the material that was used, constructed to build this building, was taken from the ground, but then reformed and reattached to the ground. right? So this building is firmly planted now in the ground, and it's going to be hard to move this building, or any structure for that matter. Is that considered, in terms of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, is that considered karka or something which is talush? Good. I'm not gonna get to it.
Okay.
But it's a fine question. So the Gemara says as far as the house is concerned, I know, and Avodah Zarah, I know the answer to that question pshitali. And when I say I, meaning I'm saying Rava. I'm a Rava. Pshitali talish of a sof chibulin in Avodah Kochav mehavet talish. I know for sure a house lingin Avodah Zarah is considered talish. The Amar Mar Hamashach v'labai shalo asro. You bow down to your own house. Now, it has to be your own house, by the way. It can't be anybody's else's house, because ein adam oser davashena shalo. So we all know the basic rule that you can't create a status of something that belongs to somebody else. Fine. Good. That we all know that. So it has to be your own house. But if you do bow down to your own house now becomes a chefza shel avodah zarah. Well, I don't understand. Isn't your house something mechubel karka? And the answer obviously is no, it's not mechubar lakarka. It is considered halachically talush. These akadacha have a mechubar. Now the Gemara just simply makes the point that we just made. Elohei hem al heharim, velo heharim Elohei hem. It has to be God lowercase g. It has to be the God on the mountain and not the mountain itself. The mountain itself cannot become a chesed shel avodah zarah. Good. So in terms of that, I know the halacha. Linyan hechsher zarayim tanaihi. Now as far as hechsher zarayim, so it's machlokas tanaihi. So here we go. We return back to Hechsher, Machshirin. We were just here in Machshirin just a couple days ago, and we get to come back. So over here, let's go over our two most basic rules. Right, whenever talking about Machshirin, all you need to know is just the basics. For a food to become Mukshir Lekabel Tumah, susceptible to Tumah, has to come into contact with a liquid, specifically one of the seven liquids. Good. Rule number one. Rule number two, you have to want that liquid to have come into contact with the food. If the liquid comes into contact with the food, but you are not interested in it, so then it's not mochsher. So it has to be one of the seven liquids, and there has to be ratzon. Rules one and two. Once you know rules one and two, the rest is easy. Now, I say the rest is easy. The next mission we're about to do is not so easy, but still, I'll say it anyway. The rest is easy. So what if the liquid is coming into contact with something which is mechubar lakarka? Is that liquid now eligible to become a machshir? And after it comes into contact with mechubar lakarka, then comes into contact with a food, is that now going to be a machshir? And what the Gemara now is saying is, well, forget mechubar lakarka, what about if it's talush ulevesof mechubar? What do we say under those circumstances? So what the Gemara would like to suggest now, it's a machlokas tonight based on the following Mishnah, did none. So here we get to learn a Mishnah in Machshirin, and the Mishnah reads as follows. Hakofakara al hakosel. So you have a wall in the house and it's raining. Let's call an exterior wall. Makes it a little bit easier to see it, to visualize it. And what I don't want this particular spot of the wall to get wet. So what I do is I take a plate and I put it over the wall. So b'shulsha tu dach. Well, actually, I jumped a little bit ahead of myself. Scenario is exactly like I described it. I took a plate and I covered the wall with the plate. But the truth of the matter is, it's because I want the plate itself to become wet. So that means to say that this liquid now that is hitting the plate is something that I want. I got ratzon. So hariz b'chiyutan. Subsequently now, if that liquid falls on a fruit, so that fruit now, or that food, is now mochshir lekabel tumah because it came into contact with a plate, which I wanted. However, b'shul shelo yulaka akosel. But if the only reason why I'm putting the plate on the wall is because I want to protect the wall from getting wet, and so therefore I'm not interested in the plate becoming wet. The plate is just a shield and a barrier to prevent the wall from getting wet, so in a b'chiyutan. So now the water that comes down is not b'chiyutan. Now the Gemara says, good, now we learned this Mishnah together, and so the Mishnah's basic point is ratzon versus not ratzon. Good, that's the big theme of Machshirin. But if you think about the Mishnah and you process the Mishnah, it comes out a little bit strange. Why? Hagufa kasha. Amar b'shul shetu d'achareze b'chiyutan. If I put the plate on the wall so that the plate gets wet, I want the plate to get wet. So we have a case of chiyutan. However, however, it has to be a plate, meaning the plate is something which is metaltalin. It's a movable item. If I wanted the wall to get wet, so then clearly, why are we contrasting the plate and the wall? Because the idea behind the wall is that the wall cannot create heksher. And the reason why the wall cannot create heksher is because it's mechubar lakarka. Good. Good. That's part A of the Mishnah. But now let's go to part B of the Mishnah. If I put the plate over the wall as a shield over the wall to protect the wall from getting wet, so then I don't want the water there, and so therefore that water is not water hamachshirin. However, if I want the wall to get wet, so that water would be considered a machshirin, and what we've just entered now is seemingly a stira between the implication of the first part of the Mishnah and the second part of the Mishnah. In the first part of the Mishnah, it sounds like a wall cannot create a hechsher.
Bring the
chair. In the first half of the Mishnah, the implication is that the wall cannot create hechsher, and the implication in the second half of the Mishnah is that a wall can create hechsher. So Amar Rav Elazar Tavra Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu. So Rav Elazar says, look, you run into this Mishnah and you read it again. And what can I tell you? There are dividing implications of the two halves of the Mishnah, and what we're going to simply say is that there are two different manda amrim. Mm-hmm. The first half of the Mishnah is holding that a wall cannot create hechsher, and the second half of the Mishnah is that a wall can create hechsher. And so a wall, we're assuming it's a wall of a house, so this is a case of talush of a sof chibro, and in terms of whether or not it can create hechsher, machlokas atanayim. Okay, now, we're saying it's a machlokas atanayim because we are bothered by the implications, so bothered by the conflicting implications that we just simply divide the Mishnah into two parts. You don't have to do that. The Gemara says you don't have to do that. Rapapa amar kula chatana. So, habakosol ma'ar, habakosol binyan. So, Rapapa says, I can read the Mishnah as a unified position. And you don't have to segregate the Mishnah into two halves. And here's how you're going to read the Mishnah. It's actually pretty straightforward. We're talking about two different types of walls. We're talking about one wall, which is kosel hamma'ara, cave wall, an organic wall, not detached and reattached, but in other words, basically part of the ground. It's not mechuba l'karka, it is the karka. Masha'inke, in the second half of the Mishnah, we're talking about a wall of the house, which is something that was detached and then reattached. Bachikamar, and as far as reading the Mishnah, here's how you read it. Hakofikara bishroshiyudacha kosa into bichiyutan by medvar mamor and because of ma'ara. Yeah. In other words, if I'm putting a plate on the wall and I want the plate to get wet, the plate's going to, now the water bouncing off the plate is water hamachshirin. However, the wall itself cannot create hechsher. Why? Because this is an organic wall. It's cave wall. However, if we're talking about the wall of the house, so there in the wall of the house, if I want the liquid to come into contact with the wall of the house is considered talush, even though it's reattached to the ground, but still halachically it's considered talush, and therefore it falls under the category of a chiyutan. Okay.
It
depends on why I put the plate on the wall. No, the plate never becomes part and parcel of the wall, never.
What
the Gemara wants us to do is not read the Mishnah, read the implication of the Mishnah. You're right. In other words, as far as the plate is concerned, the plate is movables. That's never open for discussion. It's just what the implication is vis-a-vis the wall. That's the diukim is what the Gemara is interested in, not the actual cases themselves. By Rava. We now turn to Tazayin Amud Beis and Talshuv Asof Chibuling Yishchit Amai. So far this morning, we talked about something which was detached and reattached vis-a-vis the halachas of Avodah Zarah. It's considered metaltlin. It's considered movable. Vis-a-vis the halachas of Machshirin, could be a machlokas tanaim, maybe not. We had two ways to learn the Mishnah in Machshirin. And now we're going to move over to the halachas of Shechita. So again, something connected to the ground I can't shecht with. Something detached from the ground is what I'm supposed to be shechting with. But what if it's detached and reattached to the ground? What do we say there? So the Gemara says, okay, I think I know what to do. I'll learn the brisa that started off our morning. So Tashma, Yatsor Yosim and Akosa, Oshaya Kano, Lame, Alava Shechabo, Shechita, so Psula. So the Gemara says, if I have a stone jutting out of a wall, or if I have a reed growing out of the ground, the Shechita is no good. That's what the brisa taught us. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm happy that's what the brisa taught us, but if all I had was just the brisa, I don't have enough evidence. Why? The wall over there the Bryce is describing is not the wall of a house that was built, but rather it's talking about a cave wall. In fact, you read the Braisa, you know what? That really does seem to be the pshat. Because look at the two cases side by side in the Braisa. One case is the rock jutting out of the wall. The next case is the reed growing out of the ground. Oh, the reed growing out of the ground is an organic item, never detached and reattached. It's a reed growing out of the ground. Same thing with the rock protruding out of the wall. We're talking about where it was organically there, i.e. it was a cave wall. So the Gemara says, Shmamina. You're right. So in other words, from that Braisa, I actually don't have evidence one way or another. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we consider now the following? Not stocking because of a shachar b'shchita sukshera. It's actually the same Braisa. I take a knife, I stick it into the wall, so now the knife is jutting out of the wall, and I shech with said knife, so the shchita is a good shchita. So it sounds like it is talosh ulesof chibro, and it would be good. So the Gemara says, Shani Sakim Dilemma Vatale. The Gemara says, that's not a good example. Because that's not considered detached and reattached. When I put a knife into the wall, I never really consider that the knife becomes part and parcel of the wall. Right now, the wall is just simply a holding, it's a holding implement of the knife. But we never really view the knife and the wall as unified items. It's not like when I build a house and I put the house on the ground. There, I can make a really strong and easy argument that the house now is considered part of the ground now. In other words, we're not picking up the house and moving it somewhere. I know mobile homes, but in other words, we're talking about, you know, your standard home. So, but when it comes to a knife in the wall, it's not the same. Tashma. Mechuba l'karka, sorry. Yeah, Tashma, but mechuba l'karka shchita sukshera. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what about the next part of the Braisa, where the Braisa says that if I take something that was that disconnected and reattach it to the ground or to the wall, so then the shchita would be a good shchita. Isn't that good proof? The Gemara says, not necessarily. Dilma prusha kamei farishle. My mechuba l'karka sakin dilema vatole. That line of the Braisa may not be referring to a new case. It could just simply be an explanation of the case of putting the knife into the wall. So if all I...
What would be a case of where it would be a good shchita? That would not be good shchita.
Where, let's...
You put a knife, what else... How else do you get implemented?
Let's say I have a house, and in the house now I have part of some of the building material jutting out of the wall. So that, okay. So at this point in time, so even though Rava asked a question, right? Yeah, it was Rava. Last words of the previous summit. So Rava asked the questions about Tolshul Vesof Mechubar when it comes to Shechita. So the truth of the matter is that we do not have definitive proof one way or another. Amar Rav Anan Amar Shmuel Loshanu. I'm sorry, Amar Mar. Thank you. Amar Mar, not sucking because of a Shechita Shechita Sekshera. Taking a knife, sticking it into the wall, and shechting, the shechita would be a good shechita. Amar Rav Anan Amar Shmuel Loshanu Elo Shasak Lamala Vitzavar Beim Lamata. Avasak Lamata Vitzavar Beim Lamala Cheshin Shema Yidros. This halacha is super intuitive. Everyone can easily see the halacha. It's much easier to visualize this halacha. Let's say I take a knife and I just, and whatever, okay? And I stick it into the wall. And now I'm going to be shechting with this knife. So over here now, it's fine. It's perfectly fine, right? The Braisa has said it's fine. The knife is never considered mevutal. It's never considered part and parcel of the wall. It's good. The problem now is simple physics. And that is that if the animal is below the knife, I'm always going to have total control of the cutting act. In other words, because I'm basically now working against gravity, I'm pushing the animal up. And so therefore, I'm not going to be thrusting the animal directly up because obviously I need a slicing motion. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be basically running the neck of the animal back and forth against the knife, and that's fine. However, if let's say same situation where I have the knife stuck into the wall and now the animal's on top. So now I'm working with gravity. That becomes a problem. Because what's going to end up happening is that as I'm trying to cut, so obviously with the weight of the animal now on top of the knife, so what the animal is going to do is the animal is going to slump now, especially after you start making that first incision into the neck of the animal. The animal now is going to thrust itself into the knife, and now you have a drasa, which is one of the five psuli shchita. And so therefore the Gemara says it really is intuitive, super intuitive. The Gemara says that when the knife is stuck into the wall, so then you can only shech with knife being on top and neck of the animal below, but not the other way around. To which the Gemara says, that's very good. The problem is, the Hakatani, but we have the Braisa. Meaning, the halacha sounds good, the rationale sounds good, But the Braisa didn't say that. In fact, the Braisa said, and the Gemara quotes, V'haktani, Bein she'asak l'mata v'tzavar b'eim l'mala, Bein she'asak l'mala v'tzavar b'eim l'mata. The Braisa says it doesn't matter whether the knife's on top or the neck's below, or the knife is below and the neck is on top. In both cases, the shechita would be a good shechita. So Amar Zvid l'tzad and katani. So Rav Zvid says, okay, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take that Braisa we just learned and separate those two parts of the Braisa and give different parameters for each case of the Braisa. So, when is it okay where the knife is below and the neck of the animal is above? That's when I'm holding the knife. So I'm holding the knife, I have much more control of the knife. However, if the neck is below and the knife is on top there, I don't have to hold the knife. I could simply take the knife and stick it into the wall, and that would be good. We're worried about losing control. No, we're not, because you're working against gravity as you're pushing the neck of the animal up. So you're not going to push it directly up. You're going to slide it back and forth through the knife.
So why do you need the wall in the first place?
You don't need it. It just happens to be that it would be okay. In other words, we're talking here about acceptability. We're not talking about this is a preferred manner in which to do it. Rav Papa Amar Be'ofa DeKalil. Now, Rav Papa says, once again, I hear you, but you don't even have to give that answer. The answer you can give is very simple. And that is that, yes, the Braisa allows for a knife to be stuck into the wall and shechting both the animal on top and the animal below. But what animal are we talking about? Really? We're not talking about a large animal, because there, as we already described, right, there's a concern that the weight is just going to simply just come right down on the knife. We're talking about a bird. Bird is really small. You can always have full control of the bird, whether the neck of the bird is below or above the knife. That's what the Braisa is talking about. Five halachas that are said regarding the edge of a reed. Number one, ain shochtim ba, do not shecht with the edge of a reed. Ain malim ba, don't do mila with it as well. Ain mechatzim ba, don't cut meat with it. Ain mechatzim ba, shinaim, don't floss your teeth with it. Ain mekanchin ba, and you cannot wipe yourself after having gone to the bathroom with a reed. Now, these five halachas are all really predicated on one basic point. A reed has got splinters in them. And so anytime you're using a reed for any of these activities, so the splintering can cause significant damage. Well, in the case of shechita, it can actually cause a psul, a shechita, and render the shechita an invalid shechita. By mila, obviously, we're concerned that if one of the splinters goes into the makam mila, so it can create infection. And the same thing with the flossing of your teeth and the cutting up of the meat. You see, with the cutting of the meat, so some of the splinters can go into the meat as you cut it up, and then an unsuspecting consumer is going to eat that meat, and that's no good, obviously. And the same thing with wiping yourself. In other words, so one of the splinters is going to go in, and obviously that's not good as well. To which the Gemara says, to all these halachas are good, I get it all. However, a couple of questions to ask. So as far as not shechting with the edge of a reed, I hear you, but what about the Mishnah that we learned? The Mishnah taught us that you are allowed to shech with the edge of a reed, and so therefore, I'm confused. So Amar Papa, Bisimuna de'agma. There's a reed and then there's a reed. Different types of reeds. Simuna de'agma, Rashi over here writes, Esav Hagada ba'agme mayim. So there are reeds that grow out in the swamp. Rashi gives it a name also. Uchishu yavesh chadud v'chotech ve'in kismin nivdal hamena. Such a reed, as it dries out really smooth. No splintering whatsoever. So if it's a type of reed that doesn't create splintering, that reed is fine. That's what the Mishnah was describing. Masha'enkin over here, if you're shechting with a standard reed that splinters off, no good. Ein mechatchen ba, you can't cut meat with it. I'm sorry, ein mechatchen ba basar. Rav Papa mechatech ba kirvei dagim dezige. Rav Papa would take a reed and he would use it to cut up the fish guts. Fish guts was a delicacy bizman ha-gemara. They loved it. It was translucent. It had a clear complexion. So now, if there were any splinters that went in, you could see it, no problem. Rabba Bar Ravuna mechatech ba'ufa derachich. Rabba Bar Ravuna would take the reed and he would use it to be cutting his birds. The meat of the birds was really soft, so therefore he was not worried about splinters going in. Ein mekanchen ba. So the Gemara says that you cannot be mekaneach. You cannot wipe yourself with said reed. Now the Gemara says, now I don't understand. you're disqualifying the reed because of the splinters. There's a much more basic reason why you should not be using a reed for wiping yourself after having gone to the bathroom. And that's because of a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos teaches us that anything which is flammable cannot be used for wiping material. Now, hopefully, everyone here in this room is thinking the same question right now as I'm speaking, but I'll come back and I'll address that question. So the Gemara says, so you can't use a flammable material to wipe yourself, and so the reed obviously is flammable, and so therefore you're worried about the splintering even before you get to the worry of splintering, so you can't use it because it's flammable. To which the Gemara says, Amara Papa, Kinuach Pi Make Kamrinan. So the Gemara says, you're right. Before I get to the answer, why not? So why can't you wipe yourself with something that's flammable? So the Gemara says it has something to do with the shinav, right? The teeth of the rectum, right? Perhaps, right? I've got doctors around, so perhaps it's talking about the hemorrhoids.
Yes.
Okay. Right. I'm.
You're there.
Okay. Okay. Confirmation that I may be right. Okay, good.
Oh, I'm even.
Okay. Anyway, so the so it's abrasive. It's no good, and so as a result of that, you can't use it. So how then is a reed getting called out for special attention? It doesn't need special attention. It's already disqualified. So I'm a Rapapa kinuach pimake kamrinan. To which Rapapa's response is, no, you misunderstood. In other words, it wasn't talking about using it to wipe yourself after having gone to the bathroom. It's talking about a wound and using it in terms of treating the wound. That you're not allowed to do. And again, for the same concern, splinters are going to go in. Splinters is going to create some sort of infection. And that's why it's no good. Okay, I'll address the question, although I'm not going to come up with great answers. But the Gemara says that you're not allowed to wipe yourself with anything which is flammable. Okay, we talked earlier in the Masechta about being a mumalate avon. In other words, people are avayanim because of inconvenience. So over here now, should we use some sort of other wiping implement after having learned the Gemara? So no, we don't have to. The Achornim already discussed this issue of how it is that we wipe ourselves with flammable material, otherwise known as toilet paper. And this is a minhag that's been going on for years, centuries. Right? Technology has not done much in terms of advancing this particular science. But how do we do it? In other words, it's obviously a flammable material. So the best line I can quote you is from the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan, a more contemporary member of the Achronim, lived about 100 years ago, Navardic, so Rav Yechiel Epstein. So he writes Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Look, there are certain behaviors which, in other words, if they're running against the Gemara, obviously they're foolish behaviors. But if everyone's doing it, I know it's not a great argument, I understand that. But I'm addressing the question. But if everyone's doing it, so basically, okay, what can I tell you? It's foolish behavior, but everyone's doing it. And Shomer Pesayim Hashem, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over fools. So
texting is right.
Right. It happens to be a great example.
The reason why you couldn't use the